Hey, church, my prayer is that God would speak to you and give you the answer to what you've been asking him. And let me remind you that when God speaks, he listens. I mean, when you speak, God listens. Amen? When you speak to him, when you cry out to him, God is listening. And let me remind you that you may not like the answer you're going to receive back. However, you know, God is interested in developing a life in you of obedience, a life that is not based on just routine or based on just commodity, but it's actually based on action and in faith. It may even take you stepping out and saying, God, I'm going to trust you. Like some of you guys here, if you're here and you're new to San Miguel Foursquare, you took a risk coming here, not knowing how it was going to be, but you said yes to God. You responded to that call. So let me ask you, what if God asked you today to do something that required you to give up what you love the most? Think about that for just a minute. What do you love the most? Man, I love my coffee in the mornings. I love cookies and cream. Anyway, I'm not talking about that kind of what you love the most. I'm talking about something that you know you can't live without. See, God answered a man's prayer, and his prayer was deep and profound. Yet when God answered, he was more interested in developing in him and that gentleman and that awesome man of God's life, a life of obedience. And I'm going to ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 9, and we're going to look at the life of Jesus today. We're going to look at several people in the Bible who actually were being developed by God to be people of obedience. And this says it this way: while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings. How many of you guys have offered prayers and pleadings to the Lord? Amen. I have. With a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death. Can you say, and God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God? Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned, say with me, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him, say qualified him, as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. Oh, let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that you've given us to come today and just, Lord, reflect on the life of your son. And Lord, and know that you did not just call your son to a life of obedience, but you're calling us to a life of obedience, even if it costs us everything. In Jesus' name, amen. See, when we cry out to God, we get caught up in the, Lord, I'm your son. I'm your daughter. And waiting for God to answer and give us what we've been asking, what we want, what we've been crying out to the Lord for. But when he does, sometimes we say something like this. Did you, when God really answers and it's not the answer you were expecting, we say things like, Lord, was that really you? Is that really you who's saying that? I'm going to wait here a little longer just because that answer is kind of like not the one I was looking for. So keep talking, Lord, because I'm just stay put. I'm just going to wait till you tell me what I want to hear. How many of you guys been there? Amen. See, Jesus was not only the Christ, he was the Son of God. He's the only begotten Son of God. One would think that we might, that God would have freed him from all the suffering, wouldn't we? Because that's his son. He loves his son. But he did not. Let us not think that because we are children of God, we are exempt from the suffering, church. See, by obeying and honoring God to the resisting of the devil in the desert and then in death, Jesus learned obedience. He learned to be active in his obedience and not passive. See, obedience is something we learn to respond to God. We started today as saying that our worship is our response to God. Amen? Our obedience is worship to the Lord, is our response to what he's asking us to do. It is something we learn. See, again, Jesus stepped out when it was his time, and he started doing what God was asking him to do. He called his disciples. He started discipling people. Then again, you know, God takes them through this journey of growth, of learning how to obey and listen to God, to what God was asking him to do. But it did not come automatic. It didn't come just automatically. It doesn't, when you and I want to hear from the Lord, it comes at a still small voice sometimes. It comes as a just someone speaking into our lives, and we need to paying attention so that we can go ahead and move in that direction and say, God, okay, this is you. Am I paying attention, Lord? I may not be, but Lord, would you open up my eyes, because I want to hear your voice. I want you to do in my life what you've been asking me to do. But God, I want to pay attention. And as we pay attention, just like Jesus would, he would go off to a still place, just get away from it all, just to hear God's voice. Because let me tell you that there are many distractions on this earth that would hinder God's voice in your life. My two-month-old, it's awesome. You know, it's been amazing for me to just start all over. I know some of you guys are like, you're crazy. You know, you got four children. People say, I have a kindergarten already. I say, great, awesome. But let me tell you, it's one of the most precious times to be a new dad, because she's learning to hear my voice. And she's learning to respond to it as well. That's the best. Not only hearing my voice, but responding to it. See, when I would first call her, when she was, you know, just a newborn, she would know that there was a sound somewhere. She just didn't know who it was. However, she's been living with me for 2 months already. And I'm like, okay, Eliana, you got to get your act together here. You got to learn quick, girl. Come on. And now when I call her, it's amazing, because I hold her and I say, you know, I do these weird faces. I don't know how many grandpas and grandmas here do weird faces to your grandkids or your kids. You know, you're like, hey, how's it going? Hey. And then you change your voice. I don't know why we do that. But anyway, we change our voice. It's like, okay, you want your kid to respond to you, then you say why she doesn't listen, because she doesn't realize that that's your... Anyway, you guys get my point. But now she's starting to smile, and that's the best. She's starting to smile, and she's like, when I say, hey, Eliana, Dad's home, she's smiling, and guess what? Man, my heart just melts. Because it's amazing to see my daughter learning. Can you say learning? Learning my voice. But the best part as a father is not the learning, it's the response from my daughter. She is learning to hear my voice, but she's also responding. Let us be a people, church, that we would respond to our Father when he speaks. Amen. So we can put a smile on his face. And he would be like, wow, this is amazing. My son, my daughter is responding. However, my older daughter, Etni, let me tell you, she's going to be going into junior high. I'm going to have a teenager in the house this year. Woo! You guys are laughing. Like, some of you guys are giving me this face of like, ooh, like, ugh. Yeah, you guys know. So pray for me, please. She not only knows my voice, she knows the tone of my voice. She knows that her father's calling, you know, I say, Henny, you know, but she knows when I'm mad, she knows when I'm frustrated, she knows when I'm sad, because she has heard my voice in every one of those seasons of my life. So now if I yell and she knows that I'm mad, she says, what, Dad? Like all submissive, right? Because she's like, I don't want to get in trouble. But she's also learned to hear my voice and respond to it. See, you learn to be obedient to God's voice by stepping out in faith, taking that risk of trusting when we have many reasons not to. It's that risk of going all out so we could be perfected in obedience through the actions God is asking us to take, to receive that download from the Holy Spirit when we need it the most. So we could let God reveal to us what he wants to do in our lives. But sometimes we just get distracted by all the things that are going on around us, and we lack the ability to hear God's voice. See, I was just this week, I went out with my son, and I told him, hey, Jesse, you and I are going to go have a father and son date. You and I are going to go out. We're just going to go somewhere fun. And then he's like, where are we going, Dad? I said, we're going to go to the movies. He's like, I don't want to go to the movies. But I told him, we're going to go. We're just going to talk. And I said, hey, we're going to go a little early so we can go ahead and just have this conversation. I just, you know, you go to the movies first. You have this great conversation with your son. And then you watch a great, you know, movie. So anyway, that was my plan. Little did I know that here I'm trying to download my app. I thought I had it on my phone. You know, I take it out. And I was like, oh, where's that Regal card that I need so I can get my points, right? I was so frustrated because I couldn't find it. But as I was, and then in the mall, if you guys have Verizon, you know, you guys know that you get no reception. I'm in that, in the mall, and I'm like, man, I'm trying to download this. It's already been 15 minutes. I've been trying to download this app. It's taking 15 minutes, listen, church, for this app to download halfway. And I'm frustrated because now the movie is getting started. My plans, again, of speaking to my son and speaking life and purpose and all that stuff, now it's going down the drain. But then the Holy Spirit, this download, he's like, what if you walked outside? And I'm like, I don't want to walk outside. I don't want to go out. I'm nice. It's nice in here. It's climate control. It's cold out there. I don't want to go out there. Take 20 steps. Here I was trying to be. And I was like, come on. And so anyway, I'm walking out. Okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to go out. Maybe I get better reception. Let me tell you something, church. That when God is speaking to us, when God is asking us to do something, it's going to require you to get out of your comfort zone. It's not going to be how you want it. It's going to be how he wants it. And let me tell you that as I was going, as I had my phone in hand, you know, in my hand, I was moving, and slowly but surely, I see one bar, I see two bars. And I was going out to where the old bus stop or, you know, all the buses used to hang out. Anyway, I was like going out that way, and I said, okay, I'm going out, and then my app is downloading. Let me tell you that as I got even halfway out there, this app downloaded in less than 1 minute. I don't know if you guys are hearing what I'm saying today. God wants to do in your life what could take 1 minute. What could take 1 minute in your life because you're obedient and you're moving to where God's calling you to. Then 12 minutes sitting still where nothing is happening and you're frustrated, you're angry, all your plans are being ruined, all this stuff is happening all around you. Let me tell you that church, what could take 1 minute, many of us have been in that place of 12 minutes, 15 minutes. And then let me tell you something. Wasn't it like that with the people of Israel? We just went through in the beginning series, Exodus, right? How long did it take the people of Israel to go through the desert? It took 40 years when it was a matter of days for them to get to their promised land. See, God wants us to be obedient. God is asking us to go out so we could say, God, what are you doing? It required at that moment getting out of my comfort zone. You know, again, it required me going out to where the buses were, looking weird, looking at my phone with my son behind me. But as I allowed God to just do in me and say, God, and that's when the Holy Spirit just, I'm telling you, it was just like, man, I don't even want to go to the movies now. I wanted to go pray. I wanted to go say worship God because as he was telling me, Joel, this is what I'm doing in your life. This is what I want to do with you. And I said, God, forgive me if I've been still. And Ron said it this way last week. He said, God, forbid us, you know, if we are still when the cloud is moving. Lord, I don't want to stay still when, God, you're moving. And again, it was when I chose, say with me, chose. It's a choice that you and I have to make to go out to see what if. See, God wants to do in our lives things that should take that 1 minute, not the 10. That those things that happen in a matter of minutes, not days, not years, nor decades. See, God wants to download what he has for your life. Would you open up your hearts today, church? And remember, like Pastor Tim was saying, see, God's revelation brings about our liberation. Have you asked the Lord to reveal to you what he wants to do in your life lately? If you've been feeling like you're stuck, if you've been feeling like you can't, like you've tried, like it's impossible, have you sat for a bit and say, God, would you speak to me and reveal to me what is happening? What do you want to do in my life? To witness freedom and his miracles, we need to be willing to be obedient even if it costs us our lives. Again, this is something that I've spoke about a couple of weeks ago, to witness his freedom and his miracles, we need to be willing to be obedient, even if it costs us our lives. See, we spend many years saying stuff like this: God, I really want you to use me. God, I want you to show up in my life. But I don't want to let go of certain habits or feel uncomfortable, Lord. Can you do that kind of package for me? God, I really want you to provide, but I never go look for a job. I mean, many of you guys are laughing because you're like, oh man, they're talking to you, man. God, I really want you to use me in miracles, signs, and wonders, but I never actually pray for anyone. And then we go on as an rant. If I only had this, if I only had that. No, you have what you need. It's the Holy Spirit inside you with power, with dunamis, with that power of the Holy Spirit to go out and pray and do greater and mighty miracles than the ones Jesus did. It is in stepping out in faith through the suffering that God is saying, let me develop in you a life of obedience, not through the comfort of your stillness, but through the advancing, the going of your obedience. Jesus said it like this in his time of suffering. Mark chapter 14, verse 36, he said, Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. See, for God, everything is possible. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will be done, not mine. It was in the affliction of Jesus' suffering that he was learning obedience. But not just obedience. Matthew Henry says it this way: we need affliction to teach us submission. We need affliction to teach us submission. We need to learn to say, Lord, even if this costs me everything, I'm going to be obedient to you. Others have said it this way, for those that are into the bodybuilding: no pain, no gain. Yes, right. And Ricky's not here today, but okay. All right. Oh, is he? Okay, where is he at? Okay. Ah, you're hiding, bro. It was in his affliction that he learned to submit to God's will, to what he had told them before coming to this earth. I could only imagine that conversation between God and, you know, the Father and Jesus. And hearing those conversations, he knew that that day would come. We've heard that to be obedient is being in the center of God's will. Let me tell you that obedience is not just being in the center of God's will. Rather, it is dying in the center of God's will. Obedience is not just being in the center of God's will. It's rather dying in the center of God's will. The question is, are you willing to die in the center of God's will? And what do I mean by that? I mean die to the passions, to the things, the desires, the things that you would want, the things that many people would say, hey, this is what, you know, what you should have, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, those things that we want as, you know, just because we're human. I want a nice house. I want a nice car. I want my kids to go to a good school, et cetera. You know what I mean? But would you want God to do in your life, I want this type of job or that type of job. I want this. Would you die and say, God, would you just do in me what you want to do? Would you develop your character? Many people in the Bible, Abraham, you know, again, Isaac, Jacob, we saw those people that in the beginning, God was asking them to do something. It was in the suffering where Abraham, you know, raises, you know, his hand to kill his son. It was in that suffering. I don't know about you, but I could just imagine Abraham with tears in his eyes as he's doing what God is asking him to do, yet God was testing his obedience. He was just wanting to see if he would be willing to die in the process in the center of God's will. And God gave him even more than he could ever ask or even think of. You look at the life of David. You look at the life of Daniel. You look at the life of Joseph. You look at Jesus. Many times God is going to require us and ask us to do things that take us out of our comfort zone, to see where our hearts are. He'll take us through a desert of suffering to see if you're going to remain faithful to him. to test and see what's in your heart. These men were men that did not want to die, let me tell you, in case you were thinking these guys are supermen. Yet they risked their lives to see what God would do through them as they said yes to the voice of God, as they learned to discern and hear his voice when even they didn't want to do what God was asking them to do. I want to challenge you today that if you've been ignoring God's voice, that you would surrender today, that you would say yes to him today. It may hurt. It may cost you something, but it's okay. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, about those who let go of all those things for him. It says, and everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or property for my sake will receive 100 times as much in return and will inherit eternal life. Thank you for that amen, sister. That's all I got. The only amen I heard. Like, oh, yeah, that's good for them, not for me. Thank you. I love my job. I love my house. I love everything I have, you know, my kids, all that stuff. Let me tell you, God is asking us, is calling us deeper, church. I don't know if you heard me today. God is calling us deeper as a church to go all out for him, to go and talk to someone about him, talk about the hope that is in you with someone, even if it costs you something. That we may say like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Could we say that today? Could we say that with true confidence? That it is he who lives in us? He went on to say that he was trusting in the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. Paul knew that to serve Christ, to serve Jesus, it was going to cost him his life. It was going to cost him everything. And I feel strongly that many of you here today feel that you have tried and tried and tried again. Some of you may be saying, I can't try anymore. Today was my last time just coming here because they kept insisting me. I didn't want to come, but I came. This message is for you. However, let me tell you a story of a man that felt the same way, that he had tried and tried and tried again, but then listened to Jesus' voice and saw an increase in his life like never before. I'm going to invite you to go to Luke chapter 5, verse 4 through 9. He says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, this is Simon, was Peter before Jesus changed his name. Now go out where it is deeper. Can you say that word with me, deeper? Jesus is calling us deeper, church. And let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch anything. Now, did Jesus tell him to respond in that way and say, oh, you know what? I want to hear your opinion. No. But yet, you know, Jesus listens whenever we feel like we've already tried. But then he says this, and I love this, and I feel like this is for us today, church. But if you say so, can you say that with me? But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. How many of you guys have, like us, and I say this for me, have felt like we've tried and tried and tried again? I've been working all night, Jesus. You don't know how tired I am. I'm tired. I can't cast the net out. I mean, I have to go like this, you know? I don't know. I feel like I can't. Peter was being honest with Jesus. I'm tired. But that is when Jesus speaks. His voice changes everything. Changes everything. When he speaks, there's life. When he speaks, there's hope. But if you say so, but if you say so, I will do it again. And today, you may be here and you've been feeling let down. God, I've tried this. I've tried this faith thing, and it seems like it works for sometimes and then it doesn't. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you, have you given it all to him? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you said yes to him in all those areas that he's been asking you to, you know, to give up? You know, he's been knocking at your door, and I believe that many of you know what those doors are. Where is that at? Are you and I going to be willing to say yes to Jesus in those areas of our lives? Let me tell you, church, that God wants it all. He wants it all. And in his name, and in with his hope, I'm going to cast that net, Lord. I'm going to do that one. I'm going to pray one more time for this kid that is not listening. I'm going to go out one more time and put another application in, Lord, because I believe that in your name, I'm going to go. Lord, I'm going to go one more time to my boss, and I'm going to ask him about just the things that are going on in my life, and maybe there's an increase. Lord, I'm going to go one more time, Lord, to my neighbor that is next to me. I'm going to knock on his door to invite him to our community group just to invite him one more time, Lord. I've tried many times. I'm going to do it one more time. I'm going to go out to the kid that is outside always by himself, and I'm going to see if I can go ahead and just see if he'd be willing to listen and go to church. Amen? I'm going to go one more time. Not in my strength. I've done it already. I've been doing what I know what to do. But if you say so, come on. If you say so, I'm going to do it. When we obey God and do what he's asking us to do, it will require you to go deeper. See, sometimes it's not where you've been doing what you've been doing. You have to go deeper. What does it require? It requires movement. Say with me, movement. It requires you going, and it requires you steering. It requires you going deeper where you have never treaded before, where you have never fished before. You need to go deeper. And I believe that that's what Jesus was trying to teach Peter in that moment. He was trying to teach him, hey, Peter, with me, you're going to go deeper. And you're going to do things that you haven't done before. You're going to go the extra mile, but being obedient to God's voice is going to be worth it. Listening to me, Peter, you're going to see things that you've never seen. And if you felt like Peter and you know Jesus has been calling out to you and you have tried in your own strength and nothing has happened, would you open up your heart today? Would you dare to hope again? Would you dare to hope and say yes to him? He is speaking to you and saying, go deeper. Let your nets down so that you can see God's provision in your life like never before. So you can see his provision like never before. Would you say like Peter, Lord, if you say so, I will cast and throw my nets down again. Would you live a life of obedience? One thing to notice, that this call from Jesus would be the first of many calls that would come into the life of Peter as his disciple. There'd be many times that Jesus would call again on Peter and ask him to do things he had never done before. And we could name them. We can name a few of them. He asked him to come out of the boat and walk on water. What did Peter do? Okay, I'm going. Then he doubted. Then he sank. Jesus told him to go out and eat with people that the law would say you couldn't eat. He tells Peter, you eat with them. God, I've never done this before. I'm going to, you know, again, it went against whatever he knew. To the point where he even tells Peter, you're going to die for me. You're going to die for me, and that's okay. Let me ask you something. If Jesus is here today, and I believe he is, but in the flesh, he said, you're going to die for me. I don't know about you, but if Pastor Tim told me that, you know, I'd be like, Pastor Tim, I need to talk to your supervisor. You know what I mean? I'd be like, I don't know, something's up, but I don't know. Who's, yeah, exactly. You know, I think we'd all be thrown off because we'd be like, God, what? Why would you ask me this? Why would you ask me to give up my life for you? And it wasn't so much about giving up his life. It was about the things that he would do that would cost him his life. The things that he would do were going to be things that he had never done. But yet, when he was obedient, he was going to see God's hand like never before. He saw a lot of people come to Jesus, get saved, miracles. His shadow would just heal people. Boom. Amen. His shadow would just boom. You're just walking, you're like, man, that guy was laying down. Why is he standing up now? Let me tell you that a life of obedience brings with it a life of anointing that he'd never seen before. The anointing to do and carry you through things that you had never seen him carry you through. See, that's the thing about a life of obedience. It's not just about dying. It's about him carrying you through the death that you're experiencing. When he carries you through death, through the suffering, just like we saw at the beginning, it was in his suffering that he learned obedience, that Jesus learned obedience. And he was teaching that to Peter. Sometimes it's hard, yes. But there was a transformation that happened in Peter's life. A transformation that nobody could see in the beginning, because Peter was a rough man. Peter was someone that nobody would actually consider him to be someone worthy, maybe. You know, he's very outgoing, just doesn't think, you know, he does, then he thinks kind of thing, you know. It's me, someone said. I said, that's me. Yeah. But Jesus transformed his life through a life of obedience. I want to close with this. And this is what Christine Kane, I don't know, many of you guys have heard her. She said this, healthy things grow and growing things change. Healthy things grow and growing things change. In other words, if you're seeing that you're still in that mall trying to download that app, I'm going to put it in parable terms, you know, and nothing's happened, maybe it's time for you to start moving, start doing, start listening to God's voice. What does he want to do? Well, my wife knows that she knows that I love her. She don't need to hear it. Oh, yeah? And that's why it's so tense at home sometimes, because I don't tell her that I love her and all this stuff. No, it's time to change those things. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit to give you words for your spouse, for your kids, for your boss, for those areas that you have felt like you've tried and tried and nothing's changed. But healthy things grow. And growing things change. So as you're growing in the Lord, as you're growing in God through a life of obedience, he wants to transform you, church. He wants to transform me. I believe God is going to show up in your life like you have never seen him show up before. Be at an expectation this week and begin to be obedient to his voice. If you want God to produce a life of obedience in your life, and you want to say yes to God and say, God, I don't want to be stubborn. I don't want what should take a minute in my life take 20 or 40. Lord, I want you to do in my life what you want. That may mean loving on some people. That may mean going out and being involved in a ministry that you haven't even considered to be involved in. Maybe God's been speaking to you about getting involved and you just don't know where. Like Pastor Tim said, this membership meeting that we're having at the end of the month, it's going to be perfect so that you get to know some of the folks that are here on staff and know what things you can get involved in. But if God's speaking to you today, I believe that you can come up to that membership meeting or even before then and say, Pastor Tim, you can talk to myself and say, God's been telling me about getting involved in these ministries and I just been ignoring God's voice, but I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it today. Because I believe God is speaking and he wants to bless these kids. He wants to bless these youth. Whatever it is that the Lord is telling you to get involved in. And again, this is in here. Maybe it's out there. Maybe it's with your boss. Maybe it's with the people, the neighbors that are around you. I don't know what that would look like in your life, but I believe God's going to speak to you about